him. Running away would put him closer, sooner or later, to Lord Hong, who believed that there were other barbarians somewhere.
"I tell you this, and this only," said Lord Hong. "If you quit the Forbidden City now, your deaths, at least, will be quick. And then your heads and significant parts will be paraded through the cities of the Empire so that people will know of the terrible punishment."
"Punishment?" said Mr. Savaloy.
"For killing the Emperor."
"We ain't killed no Emperor," said Cohen. "I've got nothing against killing Emperors, but we ain't killed one."
"He was killed in his bed an hour ago,"
said Lord Hong.
"Not by us," said Mr. Savaloy.
"By you," said Rincewind. "Only it's against the rules to kill the Emperor, so you wanted it to look as though the Red Army did it." Lord Hong looked at him as if seeing him for the first time, and less than happy about doing so.
"In the circumstances," said Lord Hong, "I doubt that anyone will believe you."
"What will happen if we yield now?" said Mr. Savaloy. "I like to know these things."
"Then you will die very slowly in interesting ways."
"That's the saga of my life," said Cohen.
"I've always been dying very slowly in interesting ways. What's it to be? Street fighting? House to house? Free for all? Or what?"
"In the real world," said one of the other lords, "we battle. We do not scuffle like barbarians. Our armies will meet on the plain before the city."
"Before the city what?"
"He means in front of the city, Cohen."
"Ah, civilised talk again. When?"
"Dawn tomorrow."
"Okay," said Cohen. "It will give us an appetite for our breakfast. Anything else we can do for you?"
"How big is your army, barbarian?"
"You would not believe how big," said Cohen,
which was probably true.
"We have overrun countries. We have wiped whole cities off the map. Where my army passes, nothing grows."
"That's true, at least," said Mr. Savaloy.
"We have not
heard of you," said the warlord.
"Yeah," said Cohen. "That's how good we are."
"There is one other thing about his army, actually," said someone.
They all turned to Rincewind, who'd been almost as surprised as they were to hear his voice. But a train of thought had just reached the terminus.
"Yes?"
"You may have been wondering why you have only seen the generals," Rincewind went on slowly, as if working it out as he went along. "That is because, you see, the men themselves are invisible."
"Yes.
Ghosts, in fact. Everyone knows this, don't they?" Cohen gaped at him in astonishment.
"Blood-sucking ghosts, as a matter of fact," said Rincewind. "After all, everyone knows that's what you get beyond the wall, don't they?"
Lord Hong sneered. But the warlord stared at Rincewind with the expressions of people who strongly suspected that the people beyond the wall were flesh and blood, but who also relied on millions of people not believing that this was so.
"Ridiculous. You are not invisible blood-sucking ghosts," said one of them.
Cohen opened his mouth so that the diamond teeth glinted.
"He's right," he said. "Fact is, we are the visible sort."
"Ha! A pathetic attempt," said Lord Hong. "Ghosts or no ghosts, we will beat you."
"Well, that went better than I expected," Mr. Savaloy remarked as the warlord strode out. "Was that an attempt at a little bit of psychological warfare there, Mr. Rincewind?"
"Is that what it was? I know about that kind of stuff," said Cohen. "It's where you bang your shield all night before the fight so the enemy can't get any sleep, and you sing, 'We're gonna cut your tonkers off,' and stuff like that."
"Similar," said Mr. Savaloy diplomatically. "But it failed to work, I'm afraid. Lord Hong and his generals are rather too sophisticated. It's a great shame you couldn't try it on the common soldiers."
There was a faint squeak of rabbit behind them.
They turned and looked at the somewhat underage cadre of the Red Army that was being ushered in. Butterfly was with them. She even gave Rincewind a very faint smile. Rincewind had always relied on running away,